Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
Behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst.
Mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment.
This is an upside down kingdom.
Kingdom Culture Conversations, it's good to be here on the 7th of March, and we talked yesterday about the service days coming up. We're heading out on that trip today, and we just had a great, great time yesterday with Mrs. Donna J. Underwood, and I really didn't get to, I want to know what the middle name is. You know, I kind of, it's been sitting with me the whole podcast, but I couldn't find a time yesterday to interject and find out what your middle name actually is. So what?
I thought it was Donna Just Underwood.
No, what's Donna J. Underwood? What's your middle name?
Yeah, so there's a story here. I don't know when, but you were in your, for many of the years, you were at Northwest Christian.
Right.
And again, folks, we are in day two with Donna J. Underwood because we are celebrating just a career in Christian education. So beyond her contributions to Northwest Christian, we're talking about a woman who has spent her entire teaching career in Christian education. And so just having a wonderful conversation reflecting on what that means. But during part of those years, you were honored to be in a trailer on the campus.
Oh, yeah. I'm in that trailer.
You're in that trailer right now.
I've been in
that trailer. And we're praying that trailer is in its last couple of years.
Okay. Keep praying, people, please.
Keep praying.
That carpet's been here since 1980 when this school opened.
And I'm not sure that those floors in that trailer are all that secure. I probably shouldn't admit this on tape.
I appreciate that,
But for a while, I was calling that the Donna J. Underwood Memorial Trailer.
Yes, he was. Yeah. When the wind would blow, Chris, does the trailer still shake?
Oh, it shakes. Yeah. Well, it's now the basketball court next door. When a ball hits the top there, you think it's coming in.
The world is ending.
Yeah. But I still need to know your middle name because it's
what
not
is
Jay.
The Jay?
Donna J. Underwood is really Donna E. Underwood.
Oh.
Elise?
Yvonne.
Yvonne.
Yeah, my mom, Yvonne. I'm a full day. Morning is dawn, evening is Yvonne. I am a full day. Or I'm a lot.
Okay.
Depending on who you talk to.
Well, very good. Well,
so can we put Donna J. Underwood, though, on the plaque when it goes up someday?
Plaque.
Donna J. Underwood. But listen, let's kind of reflect. As you look back in Northwest Christian School, we ended yesterday's episode kind of talking about the ways in which you've seen this school change, and it's still changing.
Yeah.
But as you look back, what are some of the specific individuals, some of the specific memories that you have of this place that make it so special in your recollection?
Honestly, it's always people, right? Because I believe that's God's commodity. In fact, more than once you've heard me say, God's will for your life will always include people, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert.
Yeah.
That's really God's value. But the people that really impacted my kids' lives are varied. For a while we had, Dee Dee Laredo here, and Dee Dee loved science. And the reason I loved Dee Dee is that she would allow me to bring third graders in to watch her kids dissect cats.
Wow.
And I didn't make the kids come in. I allowed them to come in. But I'd say if you're a really, really good student in high school, you can take this class. And more than once, I'd have a high schooler come back and say, I really worked to be a good student after that so I could come in and dissect cats.
Wow.
I mean, it meant a lot to me. Watching Ellen Millard, who was one of my first friends in Phoenix because I taught Wilson, come in and work to get her master's so that she could teach on campus. And to this day, Ellen is continuing to change her curriculum based on feedback. She never feels like she's got it nailed down. She works really hard.
Yeah,
she does.
I love the way she uses data. I love the way that she allows the ACT prep to inform her teaching.
I do too.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
It's amazing to watch
that.
There was a time when Samantha Mazden was a substitute teacher for us, And I remember Joanne Roberts and I talking that Samantha was pretty amazing. And my most favorite memory of what she said about Samantha is she's a really good mom. Mm-hmm. Now, what that said about me is she cared about the right things. And watching Samantha grow from being a teacher in the classroom to middle school principal to assistant superintendent, I've watched her evoke change, but I've also watched her care deeply. I always tell her there's a deep kindness in her and exceptional common sense with who she is that's really led her to this position. I've worked with a number of amazing teachers who have cared about the hearts of kids. Debbie Noland every year sharing Christ with her class and being so excited that kids have come to Christ in her. Colleen Fitzinger, I don't know if anybody is more astute at bringing in all the new tools we have and bringing them into her classroom so that kids memorize content, learn content, work together. Years ago, Frances Porter. Frances was a pastor's wife, or is a pastor's wife, and just taught those kids to pray, taught them to care. Way back in the day, we had a kindergarten teacher who would, she was so sweet. Joel was in seminary, and she would slip me an envelope with $5 every week and say Philippians 4:19. And we were so frugal, careful with our money, poor, that money always came at a right time when Darlene Maxwell would decide that she wanted to give me just something to bless me. Barb Field, the way that she taught kids to read when she was a first grade teacher, and I learned a lot from her those 2 years I was in first grade. Dave Young took our school from being a fledgling school with not a lot of processes to really balancing a budget, brought us to $1,400 kids early on, and cared deeply, you know, about the things that mattered. And then watching us grow to bring Chris Gardner into the position he's in now. Chris has touched more people than I know, and his heart is big, but he doesn't mind speaking truth. And then working with you, Jeff, I know that we share my sister, your wife, but watching you impact the school about things that matter. I often say, and I'll get in trouble for doing this on the podcast, but not many schools have the ability to have a superintendent that understands business and ministry and education. And Jeff understands all three and knows when to lean into each one. And he's not afraid of data. For years, I thought, why aren't we doing surveys? Why don't we do them? We could learn from them. And the value of seeing what you all say is huge. It might be hard truth. It might be nice truth. But it changes us.
From 0 to 60 on that. So you also had the privilege of working with a gentleman I never really had the opportunity to meet. And he's a Northwest Christian legend, Rick Leisure.
Oh, man, yeah.
And talk a little bit about Rick. When I started as superintendent, every other story I heard was informed in some way about Rick Leisure. Yeah. And it was the hand of providence. God allowed that during that first summer I was here, our church has, and it was Rick's family's church too, SMI. And the Leisures had moved to Colorado, but one of the Leisure boys flew down and did a week-long missions trip with us.
Joel, I think.
Joel. And during that time,
after Rick had passed,
So I spent a week with Joel, and it was a couple days into the trip before we both realized who each other were, that I was going to be serving as the new superintendent for Northwest, and that he was the son of Rick Leisure. And so it was pretty precious for me to get to hear. I didn't have the privilege of working side by side with him. What are your recollections of that time with Rick?
You know, Rick, all three of my kids have the opportunity to learn from Rick Leisure. Rick was a sincere, good, godly man. He was an athlete. He was intense. If he had an opinion, you did know what it was. I know when I was director of curriculum instruction, he came to me and said, I don't know that you're right about kids being able to only attend for 15 minutes. Can they make it longer? Can you do that? I mean, we had lots of great discussions. They weren't combative, but they were intense. I appreciated that my kids left high school knowing that context in Scripture mattered, that you didn't get to yank a Scripture and make it work for you. I loved that Rick nailed that home with my kids. He made the memorization of God's word very, very important. And I feel like the impact for Rick won't be known for eternity, but I look back to a day in the gym after Rick had passed and we invited all the alumni back that wanted to come in. And there was no room for everybody that wanted to come in because people wanted to celebrate.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the person. It was the person. It wasn't Rick's looks. It wasn't his position. Yeah. It was who he was in their lives. He lived out loud before them every day and didn't mind showing his strengths and his weaknesses so that they would know Christ.
All right.
So let's take a broader look now. I want to back up from Northwest Christian School. You've contributed to a couple of initiatives that may be a surprise to some folks. One of those is that you serve on the ACSI Accreditation Commission for the Rocky Mountain region.
Right.
What is that? What does that mean?
So ACSI is an acronym for Association of Christian Schools International. And what accreditation does for a school is it allows them to measure themselves against standards and against what they say about themselves. Standards might be, do you have classrooms? Do you have a curricular path? What are your outcomes? And then looking what you say about yourself. If you say you have technology, where's the technology on campus? If you say that your scores are, you know, your academics are high, where's the evidence to prove that? So I was invited in 2004 to join the Accreditation Commission for the Rocky Mountain region, which was five different states, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, and Colorado. And so I would do two things. One is I've served on probably 25 accreditation teams going to schools and helping them. It's really a school improvement process. It's not a gotcha process where you say, okay, this is what you're doing, or, oh, we don't see this. Can we help you to develop a handbook that might be what you think it should be? Or transportation records matter. You know, that's a big safety issue. And so for the last 20 years, I have gone into schools and supported them. This is a volunteer position. There's no pay involved. There's something wrong with someone who thinks that's fun. And I said, I've got a weird skill set. Not that many people have a skill set understanding accreditation. But on top of that, then we would read reports from other schools and see, you know, how are they doing? What are the processes they are in? If they're having maybe for a period of time, not now in Christian Ed, but, you know, enrollment's decreasing, what are the things that we can do to support them? I do believe there's value in that because I believe in Christian education. And I always say that we as a school, Northwest, do better when our competition, if you will, is strong. And so I want every Christian school to be strong in their purposes and strong in their mission. Some Christian schools are covenant Christian schools where they partner with Christian families, and some of them are missional or open enrollment schools where they share the gospel with anyone willing to enter. And so I found a lot of joy in coming along schools and working with them. Now we are with the Western region, so we're going to include Washington, Oregon, California, and Hawaii. I haven't gotten to go on that accreditation trip to Hawaii yet, though.
Dang it.
Looking for that one.
I was invited to participate in a just when you are tempted to think that I'm smart, remember this story. But I was invited to participate in an accreditation trip in Alaska.
Oh,
and I had
that would be your dream.
It would have been phenomenal.
Yeah,
it would have been phenomenal.
Yeah, you might have been extend that one.
Yeah,
that would have been.
I love to see that. The influence impact you've had has not just benefit our school, but Christian education as well. And also overseas in Rwanda.
Yeah.
We talked about your 3 M's, right? Or not 3 M's, but it was missionary mommy and missionary mommy and teacher.
Teacher.
Two M's and a T.
Yeah.
City of Joy, not only have you got a chance to work with their teachers mm-hmm. and their professional development.
Right.
And we've seen from John Coughlin just incredible scoring improvements in that school, but that really fulfilled something that was in your heart. So what's been your involvement with City of Joy Rwanda?
Well, as you said, I'm reminded that I always wanted to be a teacher, a mommy, and a missionary. And I think it was 2018, Michelle Reddy had her son go to City of Joy, and she was really encouraging teachers to go. Her husband was on the board for City of Joy at that point. And we had a teacher that was going to go and then decided that it wasn't going to be a fit. And Jeff Brown asked me if I would lead a trip to City of Joy. And again, I don't know what happens to me, but I'm like, sure. Now, recognize I've never been to Africa and I've never led a trip. But sometimes when God's in it, I take a deep breath and take the next step. And so we assembled a group of 11 teachers and 11 students.
Now, to your credit, though, you had led for many years the San Diego Floating
yes.
Lab trip.
Yeah, I'd had experience.
So field trips.
Yeah,
and,
when you can wrap your arms around that monkey,
yes.
you're going to be okay.
Yeah. But it was exciting to get there. And I think what I recognize is that I felt very strongly, and I still do, God does everything intentionally. And so all the training I've had an opportunity to have, all the opportunities in education I've had came together as I worked with their teachers. In Rwanda, you only have to graduate high school to teach. Now, some of their teachers have graduated college, but they don't have the opportunity for professional development because they live right by the school. It's very common in that country to live away from your family and send the wages back. So they live in teacher dorms. And if you're, there's no, you don't go off campus for professional development. You don't even have a sub. If you're sick, there's no school for the kids that day. So we went and we began teaching them Kagan Cooperative Learning, and we began teaching them how to work with data, and we began teaching them Orton-Gillingham. And we just did a number of things with them. And from that evolved this friendship or grew this friendship with the school and with the principal there. We don't presuppose that we know everything. I've read When Helping Hurts, and if you haven't, you should. We asked what they wanted, and they told us what they wanted to learn, and we followed up with that. The next year, 2019, I was not able to go. 2020, we were set to go, and it was COVID. So we didn't get to go again until 22. And in 22, we were invited back. But in the meantime, this thing called Zoom came out. And so we started doing professional development 5 to 7 times each year with topics they wanted. And we would Zoom them, and we could talk with them. That was amazing.
Yeah.
We went back last year, and we were walking at one point in a village, and a woman grabbed me and hugged me. And the principal said, she said to tell you thank you. Do you know her? And I said, I don't. And so he asked, why do you think you know her? And she goes, you came a few years ago and helped the school, and my daughter is so much better. Thank you.
Praise God.
Wow. We know that the teachers have been grateful. In fact, we got a letter from Jean-Claude saying he was going to be getting his master's degree. Again, a good, bad thing that's happened out of this is their teachers are hungry for learning.
Yeah.
And so they're going back for continuing education. The only reason it's bad is some of them are having to leave the school for a period of time.
Well, and they've become true leaders within the community.
The Minister of Education asked, what has happened here? And they've asked the teachers to go into the public schools and teach what they've learned.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They can't separate Christ from what they present. So I mean, you talk about the power of Christian education in a community that has been ravaged by genocide.
Yeah.
And the healing that's happening there. And Don has played no small role.
So great.
So that's really
so
cool.
So great.
So I'm going to do my last, not necessarily last, but my final trip with Northwest.
I hope it's not your last trip.
Yeah. This summer. And again, they're welcoming us with open arms saying, we want more.
Yeah.
Isn't that what every teacher wants, is for a student to say we want more?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So as we close out this episode, I'm going to impose upon you, looking back over the 32 years, whether at Northwest Christian, Christian Unified, or what have you, can you give us maybe 2 or 3 of your favorite recollections, treasures that you'll carry with you throughout retirement forever?
You know, there's so many good memories. Like teaching Tim LaHaye's grandkids was a little intimidating, right?
Yeah.
Wondering if I got Bible just right, or having Dr. Jeremiah come in and do a Passover Seder for me. I mean, those are amazing recollections that I have. But really the most favorite is there was a little boy named Brian Kuhn when I was my first year of teaching, and raised his hand for prayer, and he said his mom was living on the streets. Would I pray for her?
Wow.
We prayed. My first year at Northwest, Brian came and found me here in Phoenix. He was walking with God and excited to know that I was here. I don't even know how he found me.
Yeah.
My first year here, I had a little girl in my class, and she was from a very hard home life. And she was only with me for a semester. 2 years ago, I saw her name populate as a parent of one of our kids, and I said, was I your teacher? And she said, no, I don't think so. And then 2 days later, brought me a picture and said, you were. I remember she told me that she had gone into the foster care system. Her life had been a mess, but she had remembered that Jesus loved her.
Yeah.
And she is here as a parent now on campus with just that remembering. And I tell teachers all the time, if they get nothing else from you, let them know that Jesus loves them and He has a plan for them. There's fun things like kissing a pig. The kids love that I kissed a pig because they read over 80,000 minutes, and I wouldn't recommend it. There was the art show of having paint thrown at us for live art and having my granddaughter smear it into my ears and just being so excited that her grandma was willing to be so silly after we'd read 80,000 minutes with Read Across America. Or the famous filming. You know, I've gotten to check things off of my bucket list. I always wanted to be in a movie, and I was the villain in a Read Across America.
Sherlock Holmes adventure.
Yes.
Did you fall off the bleachers? I pushed Mr. Brown off.
That's
right.
The
you pushed him off.
And
students are still traumatized by that. We reenacted in this, folks, for Read Across America, I became Sherlock Holmes, and she became Professor Moriarty, my arch nemesis.
Yeah.
And we reenacted the fall from Reichenbach Falls in Sherlock Holmes' culminating story. And
on the NCS football field bleachers.
That's right. And I, you know what? I was told I make good faces. And for a person who, you know, my Scandinavian heritage betrays me. So I just loved all of the memories that I've had with that, as well as just seeing parents. I spent a lot of time with parents, seeing parents embrace their role, that it's not us doing it for them. We're doing it with them.
Yeah, you've done a tremendous job of discipling, especially young moms.
Thank you.
Yeah,
really good. Well, folks, what a tremendous couple of days of conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for spending some time on Memory Lane and for your contributions to Northwest Christian School. But we're going to bring you back next week.
Next week.
Sounds great.
Episode coming up. We're going to talk about what you're going through right now, and that's the importance of change in the life of a believer.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
We'll look forward
to then.
That.
All right.
God bless
you
all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit, regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.